This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt. Thanks for tuning in, listening. Apologies, we haven't done one for a couple of weeks due to what people working away, work. Brad's gone off and got his teeth done and his hair done. So he'll be sponsoring them in a couple of weeks. so we're back. Let's introduce who we got on the pod this week. Making a return, triumphant return. After being trolled up the arse. Ollie, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, fabulous, mate.
How you feeling?
Shites, to be fair. It's abysmal, isn't it? It's so bad. So bad.
All I'm doing is looking at these planets behind your head.
Shout out to the missus for the fabulous wallpaper.
Obviously, no one can see. But he's got, a solar system?
Yeah.
I can sit down there. Anyway, welcome back, mate. Welcome back. We've got Duncan McCready starting his new job, no longer a postman. We can't ask you what's going on. You all right, mate?
I'm good, mate. I'm doing this from a hotel room. That's a new experience. Hopefully the Wi-Fi holds out.
We just said, premiere in 30 minutes, you'll be gone.
That's it, mate.
That's it. And Chris, you good, mate?
I'm feeling about as rough as QPR's form at the moment, to be honest. But
you must be hopefully pretty rough, then.
You're really rough. Hopefully an hour chatting will just distract me from these kind of symptoms. And I say we're going to be positive. There is nothing to be positive about. So even I can't drag anything up at the moment. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be listening to this and isn't expecting much positivity. I mean, we'll try and get something out if we can, but I think it's just, like we say most weeks, it's just a bit of a therapy just to let out our frustrations and tell us what we're thinking and why we're so shit. Sorry to swear, but I mean, that's the best word, I think, to describe us at the moment. Just quickly setting up the scene, we haven't done a podcast for a couple of weeks, and I was reflecting, and I've just realised we've lost four games in a row since the last time we did a podcast, which is even a record for QPR, I think, in between pods that we've done. It all started with a loss at home to Coventry, 3-1. Then we went on to Leeds and lost 1-0, which was 1-0 by score, but really we were never in it and it could have been 6-0. And I don't think that we would be thinking any different about how poor we were that day.
Yeah.
Then we go away. Then we go at home to Blackburn. We were going to beat them, right? Weren't we?
Yeah.
That's what we got told. Definitely going to win. You'll see everything from the lads. And we saw nothing and we lost 4-0. And then Saturday, Huddersfield away. We were going to get a reaction. The boys are up for it. Worked hard 2 weeks. We're 2-0 down after 15 minutes and game pretty much gone. Chris, I don't know if you want to start first, mate, on any of that that I've just spoken about.
Find the positive.
I'll leave it open.
Despite saying there's no positive, I will come to the one positive, but I want to do that later. I can't start with the positive because it's so small. But that Blackburn game was one of the worst performances I think we have ever put in.
Yeah.
Like, from everybody on the pitch. But it just, I mean, I've said earlier in the season when we were, I was going to say when we were on a good run, when we were looking better, I thought Ainsworth was, could do something for us. And I mean, I was gradually turning, but after that game, I was like, look, he is truly tactically inept. I can't understand for the life of me how he was looking at that right-hand side for us and he didn't see the problem at 2-0. He made no changes at half-time. Okay, fine. You go, right, we'll give it 5 minutes. We'll see how they react. We actually looked bright for the five minutes after half-time. That is then the point you go, right, now I'm going to take the game to them. I'm going to fix the massive problem we've got on the right. Which ironically came after the fact Smith and Kakai were so poor against Leeds that he's gone, oh, I can't play those two on the right. So he's left Larkesh, a left-footer, playing right-back, also a young kid, with support from Duke McKenna, who's playing centre-mid. Like, why don't you expose the kid even more? He's looked shocking. Confidence is completely gone now.
Yeah, the Richard Dunn on that side as well. We barely could run again.
Yeah, like Jimmy Dunn, and it's just...
Richard Dunn.
Yeah, we could do with Richard Dunn, maybe.
I mean, Jimmy Dunn, sorry. Yeah, sorry, I wish we had Richard Dunn.
It was just... And then he was like, oh, okay, I'll wait till 70 minutes to change it. You had the opportunity. I can't name the list of managers who would have changed something at 2-0 and gone, there is an opportunity here. I'm going to fix that problem. We can be a bit more attacking. Honestly, just clueless. And the subs he made against Huddersfield, oh my God. I didn't think it could get worse than he did. Like, I feel he's sort of picking names out of a hat to go who wants to come on and where are you going to play. It's that random and there's no sense to it at all.
Do you know what, mate? With the subs, that I've never ever been more frustrated, apart from Kakai recently. I think that's the most frustrated I've ever been, which is I was just shouting. Like, how could you not see? He could barely run, Larkesh, for 10 minutes before his mistake. He literally couldn't run. But everyone in the stadium could see it, but he couldn't see it. And I thought at the time that maybe he was doing it as a, you've got me into this, right? You lot can get out there and deal with it. Like, that's what it kind of felt like, just leaving him out there was kind of like a... That's the only logical reason I could think of, which didn't equal he hasn't got a clue. But... Dunk, I don't know what your views are on Ainsworth and his his inability to man manage.
Obviously, my views on Ainsworth, I think we're going to get into him a bit later on, so I won't go too much into him. But tactically, it's just like there aren't any tactics. Like, he has no in-game management. He plays Larkesh at right back in his first start for the club in the league. And he's a left back, naturally left footed. Why not put him at left back where he's comfortable? Put Pau, who's an experienced player, on the right side. If that's what you want to do, if those how you want to have those five defenders, have Pau on the right. He's been in the league. He's been a seasoned pro. He'll cope a bit better playing out of position. He's thrown the young lad in at the deep end, and he's been exposed numerous times. Been at fault for numerous goals. And literally, he was absolutely shell-shocked. And as a manager, you should have noticed that straight away. As soon as he like was really struggling, half-time, whip him off. You had Ozzie on the bench. You had Reggie Cannon on the bench. Both right-backs. Both naturally, that's their side. Again, as much as Ozzie was terrible against Leeds, he could have played out the first hour in his natural position, and then you could have brought Cannon on if Cannon's still not fit. Makes you think he did that team on purpose to try and get to the sack before the international break. And it's not worked because the board's got no ambition. The board haven't got any balls to make any decisions.
Yeah.
As much as Ainsworth is one of the massive problems at the minute, the board are another one. And I know we're going to touch on that later as well.
We'll touch on the board in a bit. Ollie, do you want to just sum up Huddersfield for us? Another shocking start. What do you know? What frustrates me a little bit is that it's not frustrating, but obviously we go 2-0 down. We did okay from then on, but to say that to spin it that it was just a bad start. But when you're 2-0 down, the game's completely different. That hence why we can never get going at 0-0. Right, it's because the game's different. The teams that they set up different. When they're 2-0 down, they're not as adventurous. They let you come back. That's why the game was like that. Right, it wasn't so much that we just suddenly realised how to play football again. I don't know. That was my view, but Ollie, I'll let you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you know, you look at games like Huddersfield, and you know they're going to be one of the teams that we're going to be fighting for in you know, come the end of the season. But and you know, I think I have to remember that's what Ainsworth was brought in for, his management in terms of getting the players fighting for the badge. Those games that you need to win, he's the one that gets them going, but he's not doing that. We went 2-0 down. It was appalling. You know, the second half, we looked better, but we still lacked cutting edge. I mean, it is beyond me why you bring off the one striker in Sinclair Armstrong and bring on Smythe. When we need goals, you bring on another winger that you're playing wing back to score the goals. So we've gone from having Dykes not involved, having to start Sinclair up front, to then not having a striker on the pitch when we're trying to score goals again. I think that's the problem. You know, we bought him in because you looked at the boys before he came in. You thought they need a man manager. They need someone who's gonna get them fighting, get the belief back in them. He's not done that. A few games this season, you thought, actually, do you know what? He looks like he's getting them to play for the badge, but they're not. You know, we the second half, we had a lot of chances. If we had a strike on the pitch and we were getting managed by Bill or even Critchley, I think we probably could have even won that the way that we were playing in the second half in terms of getting up the pitch. Huddersfield was shocking in the second half. If we were anywhere near the team we were at the start of last season, we'd be hammering them.
Yeah.
We managed 14 shots against them. Two of them were on target. It is, you know, and I know, and this is a problem, you know, Sinclair got a lot of stick for that miss. I actually think it was incredible defending, but and as you said about playing players out of position, you know, I think he's damaging our young players. I really do. I think he's sticking Sinclair in. One week he's on the left, one week he's up front, next he's cutting. I'm sorry, but the Larkesh incident was absolutely ridiculous from him. He should know better than to stick a left, you know, right. It just does my head in. It does not make sense. I don't understand what he's doing. And I was happy to believe in him, but that Huddersfield performance alone should have said, right, no, he's gone. Because that would have given us time, international break, get a manager in, get him talking, get him to know the squad. Instead, we've got three games in the space of a week. What are we going to do? There's nothing to do. It's Portland. We've had 66 shots since our last win, and we've scored 5. And we've conceded 14 in 8 games. It's just utterly appalling.
Like, I know we don't think Kelman is... I mean, Kelman isn't championship quality. I think we all know that. Not even sure he's League One quality. But he is actually a striker. You could have played him. You could have put on Collie, which he's got no problem giving Collie minutes. Give him... If you're taking Armstrong off, bring Collie on. Go, right, I want you to play up front. Because he's there as a young player now, looking at it being like, okay, so am I behind Smith in terms of the pecking orders to now play up front? Like, that's weird. Like, I just... It didn't make any logical sense, did it?
It was almost like, because Smith scored for Northern Ireland in the international break, it's like, oh, actually, he does score goals. We'll put him up front this week, see what happens. And it's just like...
Against three massive centre-backs, by the way. They've got three experienced massive centre-backs, right? He was never going to get any change out of them unless we put a perfect inch through ball through, which is just unlikely. We've not done it all season, right? To Sinclair, Armstrong, who bloody needs something like that. We haven't done one good ball over the top where Armstrong, really, we're doing it down the sides and he's sometimes getting behind down the side, but he's not had one that he can do you know what I mean? He's through on goal and he's one-on-one with the keeper. He's got to check back in and just frustrating, isn't it? Sinclair Armstrong, Ollie, I just want to quickly, I know you mentioned on him, I feel like you say, it's great he's getting minutes, and he's great he's getting, you know, he's getting experience. I get it, it's great. I still think he would have been better going out on loan, but and scoring goals and terrorising League One defenders for next season or even January. But the position we're in, we can't do that. But I'm not sure what we're not getting anything out of him on a football pitch, are we? That's not to say anything about his quality, because I think he's got a lot of potential. He's got pace, power, but I've not seen any of it really.
He gets a lot of stick on social at the moment. I think if you take out the fact that he's a kid, it's a bit unfair, I think. And this is the thing, he's playing the Gareth Ainsworth style, and that's what he's been told to do, be that nippy player. We've seen him throw in some, you know, we've seen him at the start of the season compared to now, and now he sticks his foot out and he does stuff like this, and he's getting there. But I think, ideally, I would want him on the pitch always, because we talk about terrorising League One defenders. When he's on that wing and he's playing on the wing, he causes issues. The thing he needs to improve on is the end product, because I'm not sure where his best position is in terms of, does he cut inside, does he cross it? But it has to be on the wing, because when he does go down that wing, you watch, you know, if you watch iFollow and, you know, it's in the opposing team's commentary, they're always saying he's causing issues down the wing. You go on Twitter, it's like, love that Sinclair Armstrong at QPR. He's got all the makings of someone that can be seriously good, but he's got all the attributes that he needs to improve on from a manager that's not going to improve them.
I feel like he's being held back. Like, you know, like when someone's running and they've got that elastic band around them and they're running and they're just... it's probably a rubbish analogy, but I kind of feel like he's being held back. And I know that there's a reason behind it, because he's a bit gung-ho, isn't he? And he's going to get, you know... But I feel like he lost a bit of that, a little bit, you know, I don't know, a little bit of that unpredictable, like, he's not making all of the runs he should. And I know, I kind of get why, because you don't want to burn him out, right? And we're going to need him. But I just feel like you lose a bit of Sinclair Armstrong when you do that.
I think they all are, aren't they? I think you could probably say the entire squad has stopped making those runs. Again, you know, he's a kid, and I think he's been put in a position where he's been relied on. But I just think, if you, and I hate talking about it, but you look at McBill, I think Armstrong under Bill as a sub could have seriously been a lot more beneficial than sticking him in a time where we're playing like absolute garbage. I think he needs time, and I think he needs a manager that's going to know what he's doing. I just don't think Gareth Ainsworth is that type of manager that knows how to get the best out of a young, powerful winger like him. I think, if anything, I think Ainsworth is probably out of his depth with Armstrong, because Armstrong is a rare breed in terms of his build and his speed. That's something you don't come across a lot. That's why he's got big clubs interested in bringing him in. If we keep leaving it to Ainsworth, we're going to lose him on the free in the summer, and he's going to go and smash it at somewhere else. And I believe that.
Yeah, that would, if we can't tie him down to a deal, because how many players have we got that we can actually sell for money? It's not many, but he is one, because he has potential, like with a capital P. And like you say, so many other managers and clubs would be staring at him being like, God, he could be great for us. We just need to nurture him in the right way. Yes, he's raw. Yes, he's not all that right now, but he can be. And that is so key. I think you made the point about the Helix challenge at the weekend. It's one of the best bits of defending I've ever seen. I was celebrating that goal. However, every time I've watched it on a replay, I've been staring at Sinclair and been like, the ball goes over his head. He's just staring and watching. And this is a very minor thing. And I know it's hindsight, because he didn't then score the goal, but he's watching it. And actually watched the Norwich Leeds highlights, and all the highlights at lunchtime. And their centre-back, as soon as a Leeds player had a shot from a similar situation, he's already following the ball in. That's the centre-back making that kind of anticipation. So it's just those are the examples as to what we need to come off, and that he hasn't quite got that. I'm not saying Dykes would have had that anticipation, but we just needed somebody else to do that. Like, I know we talk about this all the time. Austin would have, he would have already been in that. He would have got himself onside. The ball would have gone over his head and he went, right, I'm taking two steps towards the goal in case I get lucky here and it's a goal. And but these are the tiny things that make the difference and they all add up and that's why we're doing horrendously. But yeah, I think you make a good point, Ben, that he has been held back probably because he's now the, in a lot of games, obviously he's that main striker and now it's kind of like, look, you can't just turn and run with the ball all the time because we need to hold it to bring others into play. But that's, you're taking something away from him. So either you go, right, you can go every time because that's your game, or we don't get as much from you because we need to attempt to keep the ball. It's a difficult one for him because I don't think he wants to play the way he's having to play.
Yeah, and I was listening to, I've been listening to a couple of podcasts recently. One I want to go on in a second, but one was a Shearer one, and he was talking about back to goal. And how difficult it is to play back to goal. It was Rooney, sorry. It was a Rooney one. He said it's the most difficult thing to do in a football pitch is to have your back to goal and trying to hold it up. He said you've got 6-7 foot defenders literally near you in the back, coming behind you, and getting away with all sorts. It's such a difficult thing to do. So I just think, it's especially against seasoned championship centre-backs, which most teams have got now, right? Every team we play has got, you know, a seasoned centre-back in there, right? It's difficult for him. What he can do to these defenders is getting behind, right, get them turning, and get, you know, and that's where the, but it's just frustrating that he's our only option really at the moment with Dyke. Yeah, I know Dykes is there, but
that's why we need like Scotland's number nine who can play for Scotland, but every time he goes away for Scotland comes back with a knock. Yeah. every it happens every single international break, he misses the first game back with a knock every single time. It's ridiculous. Like, Armstrong is so much better when he's up there with Dykes, and Dykes is doing that, being the target man. He's the one who's trying to hold up, and Dykes is going past, and Armstrong's going past him. That's when we see the best out of Armstrong. That's when he's working the channels more. But if Dykes is, plays for Scotland but can't play for us, like, the club have got to say, no, surely. Like, all these players, you just, like, phone it in for us, but they'll go off on international duty. It's absolutely bollocks.
Yeah, well, let's hope we can get some goals and turn it around, I reckon, because I think if we can get him going, he's, you know, but yeah. Let's move on to Ainsworth then. We've touched on him quite a lot. I know it feels like the fan base have turned really in the last, I mean, we haven't done a podcast for the past couple of weeks, and since the last time we did one to now, I think is like night and day, really, in relation to views towards him and his ability to be able to manage this team. To me, it feels like he's hanging on with a finger. Not in relation to games. I've got a funny feeling he's still got a few games left, or at least a couple of games. But I'm struggling to see how we get a result. It's typical QPR, though, right? That we go away to West Brom and Leicester and we'll probably do something. But even for me, even
no,
if
I was waiting
do,
for someone to say that. We won't.
No, we won't. Even if we do, I just think it's kicking the can down the road. I really do. And I think we're going to be in the same position of 4-0 defeat at home to Hull in a month's time. And we're going to be here. And Chris, how long does this go on for? And is there any way back for him?
I don't think there's any way back because I think whatever he does in these, I mean, this is caveated. We will lose the next two games. Like, there is no way. Please don't talk yourself Saturday morning into, oh, football works in this funny way where Leicester are the best team in the league and they've only conceded 4 away goals all season and they've won 11 out of 12. But QPR are the worst team in the league. Well, maybe two others are not quite or nearly as bad as us. And we'll win because that won't happen. But if he's not gone after that game, I don't understand. Because I think it still comes back to the, even if he, by some miracle, manages a motivational aspect to get a point out of those two, the tactical thing is still the key for me. He doesn't have that, which is what that is really exposing us now. If you can manage to motivate people for a few games, maybe okay, but he's not getting that now. Like Ollie said, that's not coming through.
Dunk, I know you're... I know we spoke earlier. You take no pleasure in Ainsworth and what he's doing. We hope, you know, we all hope we're wrong with this that, but it's just not working, is it? I mean, the red flags were there last season, weren't they?
Obviously, Ainsworth as a player for us, he came in. We all wanted him to succeed because of how he was as a player for us. There's like, as much as I didn't agree with the appointment, I didn't want him to come in and fail miserably. But there's just nothing else. I just don't see what else there is. Like, he is getting found out every single week, and his tactics are getting found out every single week, if there are any. Like, how do you motivate the team that have got no confidence to go out against Leicester? Like, if we get hammered by West Brom, and then we've got to go to Leicester, like, it's just I don't understand what he's going to say to these players who've got no confidence. We're not scoring goals. We're not creating chances. Like, he got lucky last season against Burnley when we went there and had 10% of possession, two shots, got two goals. Like, we're not going to do that against Leicester. Leicester are a team at the minute, a completely different beast. Like, I just don't. Ainsworth just hasn't got any answers to any of the questions that are being he's facing.
Ollie,
I don't see where, you know, it's reported. And you know, actually, I find interesting is there's no pre-match interview today, which there normally is each week. There hasn't been one put out today.
Yeah, I've got that written down. I was about to mention it.
I think it's interesting to see that. You know, we met him pre-season, didn't he? And he was talking about how he doesn't you know, he wants the fans to love him, and he's not got that. I think I was willing to give him the time, but now I look at it and I think, you look at the caliber of managers available at the moment. There is, I would say, four or five, six managers that could come in and could do one hell of a job. You've got Gary Rowett, who would be a brilliant one. He took Millwall from being in the position that we're in now to not finishing less than eighth in the three seasons it was there. You've got Warnock. Dare I say it, you've got Bill. You've got Eustace. You've got all these managers available. They're the type of managers that are going to come in and make a difference. You can't expect Gareth Ainsworth, who can't beat Huddersfield, who can't beat any of these teams that are around us this season, to then pull off a result against West Brom, pull off a result against Leicester. It's not going to happen. And you know, it comes down to the whole board situation, and do they have the bottle? You know, is Amit playing golf tomorrow like he has been the last fucking four games? But, you know, you look at Leicester as a different animal, and they're a Premier League team, basically. Burnley are in the Premier League. Let's not forget that we went up with them, and we haven't been back up since. They've been up there consistently, both been in Europe, once won the title. The deeper root of the problems is not the manager, it's the higher ups, but that's not what we're talking about. If we have any hope of staying up this season, he has to go. He has to go before the end of the month. That's 7 days. He has to go. There's no... nothing.
I want to touch on the board in a minute, but Brad, he messages me often about how he says that the players have lost... he's lost the players, Ainsworth, lost the dressing room. I don't know, completely, a little bit, not sure. But it does feel like, when you're watching us, that the players are getting frustrated. I'm seeing a lot of players look frustrated. I'm seeing them speak frustrated. They don't look great. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that, or if anyone agrees with him or disagrees with him. I know he's got brought in a few of his own players, but the core is still very much the same, isn't it, as it has been?
Do you see any of our players really throwing their bodies on the line to keep us a clean sheet? If these players wanted to play for the manager, they would be doing whatever they could to get results. They would be diving into tackles, making goal line clearances every single game if that's how bad we're playing. Like, we don't do that. Huddersfield's second goal, there was three Huddersfield players in the box and five QPR defenders. Like, how can they... it just doesn't add up, the maths. They get a chance to score because no one's playing for him. No one.
What frustrates me, I think, about watching us at the moment isn't so much our defending, although that is defending, is that obviously we've got nothing up front. We're not scoring goals. It puts so much pressure on us. But why, amongst other things, but one of the big things I've noticed is that we're just not brave enough. I don't know what it is, whether it's Ainsworth or the players or something, but they take the easy option all the time, easy pass, or they'll give it to Ilias Chair, and Ilias Chair will try and do something, and it's a one in a 200, 500 chance that he's actually ever going to pull it off, right? And I feel like that's just, and I feel like watching this QPR team is just an episode of EastEnders over and over. I say it all the time, then I don't. Over and over again. We go 1-0 down. We go 2-0 down. We'll start playing. Who knows what will happen after them? We'll get an injury. Like, I don't know how injured, or Clark Salt looked like he was hanging on to his legs at the end. He did all right. He did well to stay on, no doubt, and scored. But I don't know if we'll see him tomorrow. But an injury, it just feels like the same old story, doesn't it? It doesn't. Nothing changes.
And every game is just rinse and repeat.
It's just, right. He's not brave enough. It's keep it as it is, and let's just bring on the subs that he doesn't have. Right, he doesn't have a bench. Right, I do feel for him in that respect, but I don't know whether that's him or the board. We don't know, but we just don't have the squad, do we, to be able to bring on and change these games? But that's why we changed formation. Then
we've got no squad, but we've got no loan players. We've been so reliant on loan players the last few seasons. You go back however many seasons, we've always had really good loan players who've come in. Not all of them have worked out, but a majority have. He said to us, I don't want loan players. And look where it's left us now. We should have got a striker in on loan at the start in the summer. We didn't.
I can't believe we didn't buy a forward.
Ainsworth said to us,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
In the summer, you will never have to give any of my players a rollicking because they're all going to leave everything on the pitch. Are they? Can you anyone honestly say our players leave everything on that pitch? Absolutely no chance.
No.
Like, no. What, so that's, if he's telling us that, what's he telling the players? Oh, you like, you say, oh, I'm going to big you up and big you up, but it's, they're not playing for him and they're not leaving anything on the pitch.
Yeah. They must hear these comments, or if he says the same thing, and they, you know, in yourself, if you've given everything, like everybody who's played any sort of sport or ultimately like worked any job, you know, when you've given everything, like, so they know, so they'll be looking around the changing room being like, You haven't. Can, like we say, can one of them do that? And so, therefore, they won't be, they know, so they won't be believing him. So, yeah, the dressing room has gone, because he just says the same thing every week beforehand. Like, you can't keep, that message works for a small amount of time if you're on a bad run. If you turn, if you get a point you shouldn't do, so let's say, if we got a draw against Leeds, then that gives a huge bounce, because it's like, actually, we can do something here. We should have lost that, but we got something. So that gives you a bounce for like three games and you can continue that momentum. But with every loss, you're just eliminated. The players must sort of be turning up being like, just expecting to lose now. So you need to refresh something. You can't refresh the players. So your manager is the only option.
What's frustrating is when we go 1-0 down, we're literally, the game's gone. What? So why do we start so poorly in every game? Like, it's not rocket science. Like, if we don't, you know, if he knows that if we score first, I know it's easier said than done, but something's, it's just every game, or at least every other game, we're just so poor in the first 15 minutes of games. We concede so many goals. I think Jack's got the mad stat. He's not on, but if he had, I'm sure he'd be telling me, but the amount of goals that we've conceded in the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes must be ridiculous.
Well, early on when Ainsworth came in, it seemed like we were conceding the first 10 minutes of every game, didn't it? And
nothing's changed.
Well, early on this season, that did stop for a bit, because it seemed like that was going to happen. There were these home games where, like, for 20 minutes, we'd feel like we were okay, but we'd not score, and then they'd score with their first attack. So at that point, all the players are naturally like we've this is going to happen again. And then the fans are like, all right, cool. Well, we've lost, but I'll stay here for the next 70 minutes and watch it because that's what we do. There is just nothing to get excited about, really, is there? Even if do we need to reach the level where we go away from home, we go, right, for the first half, I'm going to stick everybody behind the ball. And that's all I'm going to do. But how depressing is that to think about? To literally park the bus from the setup, no matter who you're playing, to go, all we're going to do is get to halftime. We're going to defend really deep. Because I hardly feel good enough to break down 10 men behind the ball. No. But we're 2-0 down after 15 minutes. So it's like, oh, game over. But like that is the level we're now reaching. I'm saying, should we stick everyone behind the ball? That is so depressing to think about.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was listening again. Was it? It's just his interviews. I know you said, Ollie, he hasn't done one today, and I'm starting to think it's probably the best thing because I can't listen to them anymore. They're just. I don't know his media. I don't know what it was like at Wickham, but his. I think it was Alex Ferguson that said he had two battles, didn't he? I don't know if you listen to one of the. Do you listen to the Tippy Tapper podcast? I don't know if you do. Sam, there, Jeff Sree's on. And he said that most successful managers know that they've got two battles every game. The game on the pitch and off the pitch. On the pitch with the result and off the pitch with doing your interviews and the media and how you talk to players, fans, media and stuff like that. And it makes a huge difference. And I just think that, like you said, the players watch that. They listen to that. If he's saying that in an interview, he's saying something similar, isn't he, in a dressing room. And he's just like walking around. He doesn't think about what he's saying. He just says things like he doesn't like it was the passion at the start. You kind of could let him get away with it. He was, managed QPR. The passion was there, the enthusiasm. You got it. But now it's just irritating. And that's what happens when you lose, isn't it?
That's the thing. What you said about him saying it to the players. He probably does say the same thing to the players. And that's like, if you work in sales and you're kind of not really bothered, you haven't made any sales today, and at the end of the day, your manager goes, do you know what, mate? I know you didn't make any sales, but you worked really hard today. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep trying. You're going to keep fucking doing the same thing, aren't you? You ain't going to put any extra effort in. You get a manager like Neil Warnock in. If for example, Ozzie Kakai, for example, didn't give it a flying F all game, didn't try, Warnock would string him up. I think that's the problem. We brought in a man manager and we just brought in a nice bloke. And that's the problem. We don't need a nice bloke. We need someone that's going to drill the into these players and make them know that you might be the only striker at the club, but that doesn't mean you start every game. It doesn't mean you get on the bench. And that's my issue. If he is talking to the players the same way that he's talking to the media, then is it any wonder that they are not giving a flying F on the pitch? Is it really? Because if they're being told they're doing all right, again, if you worked in a shop and you weren't doing anything, you weren't putting in effort, but your manager's like, oh, yeah, happy with that guy, happy with that, guys. You might not finish stacking the shelf, but you did a good job. You're going to keep doing it. So why?
So true.
Yeah. Doug, you mentioned about the board. I just want to touch on them because they can't hide away. They're to blame as much as anybody. I mean, I've got the feeling, and we said it on socials, that the board are going to hang on and hang on until they can't hang on anymore to it, feels like. Because a sensible thing would have been just to move on from the international break or the India national break. What do we do with them, mate?
Well, thing is, it goes back to obviously Les leaving. Like Les got a lot of flack from a lot of sections of the fan base for transfers and how all that came about and what his role was or what his lack of role was, what he did and didn't do. He's gone. No one's replaced him. Who's? What does that bloke do? He might be brilliant.
Why is he talking about football, man? What's that got to do with him?
He might be brilliant off the pitch. He might financially, he might be saving us loads of money. Brilliant. Stick to that. That's your job. If you're not involved in the football side of it, stay away from the football side of it.
What's he doing interviews with The Athletic saying that we're fully behind him.
It's because we have no director of football.
It's outrageous.
There's nobody at board level, in between board level and manager, to come out and say anything like this. Like we've already said, like Amit's playing golf who knows where. Like, the board are just, if not more, accountable for the failings at the minute than Ainsworth. Ainsworth is the wrong man. He's not tactically good enough to be a manager in this at this level. But the board, as much as everyone will say, oh, they pay $2 million a month to keep us afloat, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, they're not making the right football decisions. And that's what they're in there. That's what they're in place for. Whoever is advising them or whether they're just doing it off a whim, their decisions constantly are wrong. And you can't keep running a business that way.
No, yeah.
Which is what the club is.
Exactly. You know, I said the other day, just because they fund the club monthly, it doesn't mean they're good. They're good at their job. You know, they talk too much. Lee Hughes needs to shut his mouth and go do his job. And, you know, me saying that, it's not going to go down well if he heard that. It'd be like, oh, well, do you know what? If he spent a little more time keeping behind the scenes where he belongs, rather than taking interviews here and there, talking to people here and there, don't talk too much. You know, I mean, the whole middle finger incident, like, that's... It's funny, and that video it had me laughing, but it's not a joke, is it? It's our football club. This is something that these players, and these fans put money into every month, and it's not being taken seriously. It's not, you know.
I mean, what did he say? Well, he got 99 problems, but the pitch ain't one. And yeah. whilst it was, you know, I just, you don't want to be hearing it, do you really? I just, when,
and then the,
I don't know, it's kind of like an end of season joke. I don't know, mid-season fan forum. I just don't. I don't know.
Yeah,
might just be a miserable. I don't know.
I mean, as it happens, him saying that and then 30 minutes into a game, the fucking sprinklers go off. and then, do you know what? I wonder. I saw someone tweet out. They reckon that there's quite a few replies to it, actually. They reckon that someone at the club that's a QPR fan might have done that on purpose, that works at the club. And if he'd done that, fair play. For doing that on purpose after he said that, because he's not serious. It's like Tony Fernandez. Do you remember in the 2014-15 season when it's deadline day, it's a massively important game day to try and stay up, and he puts a picture of career mode up and says, just getting my practice in before deadline day tomorrow. Oh yeah, do me a favour. Every owner we've had talks too much.
I think it did. The Who's tweet, that's a classic thing. If we were doing really well on the pitch and everything was rosy, every fan would be like, oh, that's well funny. Like, I can get on board.
That's fine, isn't it?
But we are complete. It's like you read the room, pal. We don't, like your preconceived note that you'd written because you thought that was funny, don't need it at the moment. And that's just where, like, the board, I think we need to separate the board from the owners. So the board is the problem. The owners keeping us afloat, that isn't a negative. They just need to find the right person to run the club and run the, make the decisions, because they're successful businessmen in basically everything they've done. Yet they can't make the clear, if this was one of their businesses and the person running it, i.e. whose, was, and it was this bad, they wouldn't be in the job. They'd find a replacement. Or, I mean, in this day and age, it's quite difficult to actually fire someone unless you work for an American company, but you'd bring someone in who's effectively the same role to oust the person who exists, or you'd replace Ainsworth because that level of the business isn't working. Obviously, there's obviously a huge element here that Amit is desperate for it to work. And I do get that, because it's the same for a lot of fans. We've all said we really wanted it to work for Ainsworth because you love him as a player and you've got that attachment, but you have to separate yourself from that. And again, I don't want to go down the road of like, oh, Amit can't do everything with his life, because look, QPR is a big part of him, but he has a family, he has everything else he should be able to have in his life. And so should everybody who separates their businesses and their work from their actual life. Like, imagine your boss telling you, oh, you can't do anything else, and why aren't you thinking about work? But again, like, the golf thing and him being in Vegas at the weekend, it just doesn't come across in the best manner when we're doing shit. And it goes back to what I said about the Who's tweet. If things are rosy on the pitch, no one cares. But if they're not, everybody is like, is his mind on it? And yeah,
read the room.
Yeah, and that's it. And it's just like, come on. Yes, most of us want to go to the Sphere in Las Vegas and it looks really cool, but I don't need to see you tweet it or put it on Instagram when we've just lost to Huddersfield and we look so bad.
It feels a bit like there's no one there to make the decision. That's probably not true, but it feels like that. It feels like everyone's a bit like, well, what do we do? What do we do? Do we give him a bit more time? Let's give him a bit more time. Should we give him a bit more time? I think we probably should. Amit's man, he employed him. Maybe he's probably got a bit of unconscious bias towards keeping him a little bit longer. Who makes the call to him to tell him that he's gone? Then what's he currently doing in the club, Gareth Ainsworth, that if he left, would need doing? Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like he's doing a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the one thing that I'm quite intrigued by. It was obviously said that the managerial appointments have been made by Les the last few years. Maybe I'm intrigued to see, with Les gone, what would the managerial appointments be like? Because it seems like he's gone with... I mean, the Bill one, good call. We were good under him. But, you know, with, you know, Amit and those likely to make the decision on who comes in now, that is the tiniest, like, smidge of positivity I have, in the sense that someone else is making the managerial choice now. Bring back Neil Warnock.
We'll get into, that's what I want to get onto next. Who next then? If things go the way they're looking like they are going, who we got lots of managers to choose from. We've got Rowett, Warnock. We've got, who else is out there? Nathan Jones. We've got Eustace. We've got Mickey Beale. I don't know if anyone would take him back. I know he gets a lot of hate. I don't want him back.
Ben wants Mickey Beale back.
I think the thing with it is we're so bad. I'm so disengaged and I just can't see any other thing than a loss every game. And we need the change. I'm so desperate for that that I'm just thinking that I want him back. But do you know what I mean?
Okay, I'm going to give you a good analogy of bringing Beale back. So
it's not like a girlfriend one, is it?
It is exactly that. Bringing Beale back is getting back with an ex-girlfriend and all your mates are telling you, don't do it. You're going to get hurt. This is stupid. But you are like, and they're going, she left you for a fitter bloke. She doesn't care. Like, all of that stuff, like, that was an illusion. And you are so blinded and you're going, yeah, but that was like the greatest time. And like, everything we did together was amazing. And that's just one, that's a special feeling I want again.
Yeah,
and
but
you will get hurt in the long term. But, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, is the short-term effect enough? Is getting the bounce we could get, even if at the end of the season, let's say he kept us up and then someone else comes in for him, we accept it. And I can't believe I'm doing that, because I do think it's the wrong decision long-term. And I think we would look back on it and go, that was silly. But it might be enough. Personally, I would go for Eustace, because I think that is a long-term move. I think he's been used to this board, the club, and that's not a major reason, but I think he's got even more of a point to prove, because he was let go from Birmingham because they've got American owners and they wanted a bigger name in Rooney. I think, could you then, is there some way we could encourage Warburton to come back in some sort of role? For me, that is a long-term move. And like, Rowett is a good championship manager, but every fan base gets so bored and annoyed with him after X amount of years. Whereas Eustace seems to have a much better... and I know he's had less jobs. Rowett's been around a lot longer. But that is who I would get in. Because I also don't think Beale could come in and game one, suddenly we change. And like, Chris Willock's back to elite level. But that's what we'd expect, because it's what we had. So you'd be if he came in and that first game is Rotherham away, people would be rubbing their hands and be like, oh my God, Cher Willock under Beale, we are going to be amazing today. And I don't think it would happen.
I I think we need something different, but I don't know if that different comes now or at the end of the season. We need someone different. Eustace, to me, and it feels like the same churn of manager that we just keep churning out. Like, we'll ruin him. He'll come in, and we'll just ruin him, and he'll be gone again. And it just feels like we need something completely different. And I don't know what that exactly looks like. I mean, someone like Nathan Jones, someone who is in your corner, you like him. If he's not in your corner, you absolutely hate him. So I get all the hate. I hate him a lot, but I feel like if he's with you, I don't know. I feel like he knows the league, maybe something like that. But I don't know if we'll get someone. I don't know whether we get bringing the Ward up till the end of the season and then we do it in the summer, more time, more option. I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm probably thinking, leading towards a Ward up.
For me, out of the names you've mentioned,
is there any different names? Any different names?
Not really. I feel like we need someone like Rowett who's got experience at this level with numerous clubs, numerous situations, numerous boards. He's going to come in and he should be able to turn it around. I feel like someone like Eustace, like, he's not been in this situation. He's not had to get a team that is really struggling for confidence, really struggling for form, and turn it around.
That'd be good, weren't they? Last season, it was a tough gig last season.
Tough gig, but I think that was more off the field stuff rather. Like on the pitch, they weren't horrendously bad, were they? They weren't the situation we're in. And you're always going to have with Birmingham, they always seem to find some like dodgy money down the back of the sofa that they can spend in each transfer window, which we don't seem to do. Like, but I feel like Rowett works under a budget, and I feel like out of the names mentioned, for me, he's the kind of guy I would go for. Warnock, again, it's that nostalgic, just like, why get an manager just into the end of the season? I feel like that's still short-term planning. Like, it feels like half of the summer transfers were short-term fixes. Like, I feel like we need to start planning more long-term.
Ollie, what are you thinking, mate?
I've been thinking about this every day for a while now. My plan would be get Ainsworth gone. We like the idea of a long-term thing, but we need short-term for this season. Get Warnock in until the end of the season. He can retire here and then end up at Rotherham next year.
He'll never retire, he'll never retire.
Get Warnock until
the end. He will after coming back, mate. Once he comes back and he sees what the mess we're in, he'll retire
I'd get Warnock in. Keep Warnock until the end of the season, and then I would look to try something new. I would like Rowett, but I would want him now if we were going to get him. I'd like Bill, but again, I want him now. I'd like to take Warnock until the end of the season, gamble, go abroad. Seriously, and it's a big gamble, but I would love us to bring in that Marty Cifuentes, anyone like that. Make a gamble. We've stick to the same type of manager every single time.
Yeah, that's what I agree. Same mould of manager.
Exactly. Get a foreign manager in, give him a chance to have his go, see what happens. There's no reason why we can't do that. Have a gamble. Warnock into the end of the season. Keep us up. Thanks a lot, mate. You're a legend. You can retire now. Off you go to Rotherham. And then keep us up. Blah, blah, blah. Go abroad. Get a manager in. I don't care. Just get Arsene Wenger in. I'm joking, obviously, but get any foreign manager in. Give it a try. Why not? It's a risk, but it's a risk worth taking.
Get Gigi DiCanio back in.
Just for the song. Just for the song. Used to love
football. He played in Dream was great. I really like. You see, when QPR history or on this day QPR, like. That is the joy that we have at the moment, like reminiscing about previous performances from years ago. Like, I think today it was the 1-0 win against Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously the incident with their twat and Anton, but like that game in itself, like the atmosphere, the win, absolutely incredible. But that is all we have. That account. If people are so fed up with QPR socials, like, stop following everybody, but follow that, because you'll at least have some positivity.
Yeah. One quick one. Do you know what keeps frustrating me every week is this whole Willock thing. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Me and my uncle, he might just, we often have arguments about it because he's very much anti Willock and agrees with Ainsworth that he's not been great for the last year, and he's played good in spells here and there. I think it was like 4 or 5 months. He's actually only really played well in the 3 years he's been here, but and he's not very good. I, on the other hand, have a different opinion and think that if you can get him going, you've got one of the best players in the league there. But it's getting him going that's the issue, right? But it just feels
not bringing him on Saturday showed me everything that Ainsworth has got.
Exactly that.
No, that was a mess. That's more of a message to Willock than anything else, in my opinion. Huddersfield had so many men behind the ball. Chair is desperate to play with somebody. I don't know whether we'll touch upon this, but we spoke in the chat. We were like, Chair, he keeps the ball way too long, especially in that game. Because he's trying to do too much, because he's like, I don't think he has faith to give people the ball and get it back. So you bring on his best mate and go, look, nothing else is working. We're going to have the ball here. We need some quick interchange. That was the Willock time. And Ainsworth is like, no, I won't do that. On it, like, did not understand it. If you've had a massive falling out with him, it's still your job as a manager to get the best out of your players. Not just to go, you're one of our, on their best day, one of our better players, but we're just going to put you on the bench all the time. It's so weird. What probably happened is he'll start tomorrow and have 60 minutes, and it's so weird.
And he won't get in the game. We won't see him again for 3 or 4 weeks. It's just weird. Yeah, I just don't get it. Don't know if anyone else has got a different view on it.
You've touched on everything with work. I just don't. Him and Ainsworth have clearly, there's an issue between the two of them for whatever reason. No one knows what it is. Ainsworth doesn't trust him in games, and when he does get any kind of minutes, he's not showing anything to even earn being back in the team. So it just feels like we should have sold him in the summer, let him go. He's just going to, he'll sign another contract in January with some other club, or an agreement saying, yeah, I'll join you for nothing in the summer. Bang, done. And Willock's career of us will just fizzle out.
Just so frustrating. We've got two players there who could probably make a difference, in Taylor Richards as well. We just can't play. Taylor Richards was our summer signing, our multi-million, whatever much it cost. And Willock's one of us, not showing it, but he's probably one of our better players on the ball, isn't he? We can't even use him. Right, lads. Tough. Anyone feeling better after that?
No.
Oh, the positive I did have at the start.
Oh, go on.
I think we actually might have worked on set pieces in the international break.
Wow.
Because the corner for Clark Sorter's goal, like, I think we should give him a bit. That was a really good header. Like, he's up so really early, hangs in the air. Like, when the ball was in the air and I knew it was a goal because the stream was like behind, I'm like, I don't understand how you've scored here. Is this a keeper error? Because he shouldn't, in my opinion, have scored there. The Jimmy Dunn one, I mean, he's got to get that on target.
Yeah.
But like, that was actually good movement in the box. So it's only taken us, how many games are you into this season? 12?
10 years.
Whatever it is, to decide, oh, maybe we should work on corners. Maybe we should put Dizel on them.
Exactly. And that's the difference. And do something. Put Dizel on them.
Yeah.
It's not taking
care of corners. Taking 3 seasons.
Right, quickly then, lads, be West Brom preview. I really, really don't know where to start, what to expect, formation-wise, team-wise, result-wise. I expect it to not be good. Ollie, what are you going with, mate?
I think it's going to be a good result. 3-0 West Brom. 3-0 West Brom. I don't see it getting any better. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 4-0. I think tomorrow could be judgment day for Gareth. I think it's 4-0 West Brom. Darnell Furlong, 4 goals, probably something like that. But we ain't gonna do anything there. I hope I'm wrong though. I'm not one of those people that wants us to lose, get him out. I want us to get 3 points.
Chris Dunn. Anyone?
Again, I've got no confidence we're going to do anything. If you ask me right now, I'd happily take a 1-0 defeat. Just as long as we didn't concede in the first half. I'd like to get to half-time 0-0. That's a positive.
Yeah, is it? I think he is. Chris, can you? What are you? Any positivity or end, mate?
No, 1-0 loss. They've only scored one goal in their last three games at home, but they haven't conceded in any of them.
They haven't played QPR yet. Not in relation to scoring.
No, but yeah, they don't. I mean, it honestly doesn't matter who we play at the moment and what form they're in, because Blackburn were in rubbish form and they tore us a new one. But
do you expect any changes, mate? What do you expect the team to be?
Right.
I don't know, whatever names get picked out the hat this week, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
I can imagine Reggie Callan will start, won't he?
Oh, I hope so, mate.
Probably start left back, though.
Imagine Reggie Callan, Dykes. It depends if Dykes and Cook are back. I mean, if Cook is I think, pivotal to any Gareth Ainsworth doing well. I don't know why. I just feel like when he's there, we defensively look a bit better, don't we?
So, if he's back, do we go to three centre-backs and wing-backs?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
We have to.
Yeah, I think we'll do that anyway.
Oh, yes! We'll have Smith crossing it to Rosette again. Please.
God.
Brilliant.
Can't Super wait. Negative now. But click the button. All right, that's thanks for joining. And we'll catch up next week. And who knows what the next week will hold. You never know, eh? Typical QPR to beat Leicester at home. Was that before the pod or on the pod that we said that? I think it was before, wasn't it? Yeah. Wouldn't it be typical QPR to beat Leicester at home?
No.
No? Right, fair enough. Fair enough, lads.
It's,
right.
It's worth putting a tenner on, isn't it?
Eh?
It's worth putting a tenner on just in case.
That's what Brad's been doing. He's been putting money on QPR every week. He's lost loads because the odds are so good.
Tell him to stop. Maybe then if he bets on the other team to win, maybe we'll win.
Don't worry, we get a message from him. We'll win this.
Every week.
Yeah. He's the most positive person at 5-3 in the afternoon I've ever met.
Yes, he is. And then at 5 o'clock, he's the worst. Isn't he? Yeah.
You get him on a pod and he's negative.
Yeah.
You will see him with his new teeth and hair in the next week or two. All right, lads. Cool. All right. Have a great week, everyone. Catch up next week. You are.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.